This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما Brothers and sisters in Islam, we have certain historic events in Islam which are so fascinating and they are explained so well in the Sunnah in particular, such as the event of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, the journey of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Jerusalem, to Baytul Maqdis at night, followed by the ascension to the heavens. This event, although we know the night of the 27th is not confirmed, that this is the night on which it occurred, but because of the significance of the event and also the relevance to what is going on to our brothers and sisters in Gaza in particular, in Palestine in general, we are to address this subject today, inshallah. The point I wanted to make here is sometimes we get engrossed, that's the verb, or infested too much in the details of the event. Like a typical khutbah about al-Isra wal-Mi'raj would be about the events, the how the Prophet started the journey, and the fact that he rode an animal called al-Buraq, and so much details, so many pieces, which really takes away from the structural benefit of the event itself. I'm not saying the details are not important, but sometimes these details distract us or take us away from the essence of the event. Let me begin by saying, normally the Quran comes to restructure that, to direct you to understand these events in the way Allah willed for it to be understood. Or at least you start understanding these details in light of this overall or higher goals structure of the events. Although Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj is one event really with two pieces. It happened at the same time, the same night I mean, and obviously, there was a significance for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ascend from Jerusalem to the heaven, from Baytul Maqdis to the heaven. If Baytul Maqdis was not important in the piece of the Al-Mi'raj, the ascension, Rasulullah would have ascended from Mecca, from Al-Haram, and That would have been sufficient. But obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted His messenger to ascend from Baytul Maqdis, from Jerusalem, beside the journey. Add to this, look at this carefully. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended, and the five daily prayers were legislated upon the Muslims, then he comes down. Guess what was the Qibla? Not Mecca, Jerusalem. For the rest of the duration of time, based on when Al-Isra wa Al-Mi'raj took place in Mecca, before the Hijrah, the year of sorrow, debatable. But the entire time in Mecca, besides 16 or 17 months, based on the narration in Medina, Muslims are facing Baytul Maqdis, Jerusalem, not Mecca. So obviously there is a significance that the two events have to be tied to one another. Let's come to the Quran, and this is where I'm telling you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala direct you to somehow, somewhat, understand this particular event in this manner. You will find the Quran presenting the event of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, which is one event with two pieces, in two different chapters. Not in one chapter. In two different areas. And this is interesting. Al-Isra was addressed or was presented in a chapter that was called after the event of Al-Isra, which is Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17 of the Quran that comes right before Al-Kahf. طيب, what about Al-Mi'raj? Was presented in 53, chapter 53, a chapter called Al-Najm, the stars. The star, Al-Najm. And briefly referred to in Surah Al-Takwir. وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينِ. That's one verse in Surah Al-Takwir. What is the wisdom the Quran separated them, although they are one event? Because each one of them serves one message. Let's come to Al-Isra. What is Al-Isra? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken by Jibreel from Mecca to Baytul Maqdis and coming back the same night. Obviously, at this time, this was a miracle. Because the mode of transportation, whether it is camels, horses, mules, no way. Even when the disbelievers started throwing a fit at it, they said, listen, we beat the necks of the camels 30 days to get there and 30 days to come back. You want to tell me that you went to Baytul Maqdis last night and you came back the same night? Come on. So it was a miracle at the time. But is it a miracle at our time? No, it is not. If you have your private jet, you can go there and come back in 2 hours. It's not a miracle. That means it's doable for the Ummah. Different to Al-Mi'raj. No one can do that. That is why, brothers and sisters in Islam, I'm telling you, Baytul Maqdis is a key, the gateway for that universality, al-alamiyyat al-Islam. You see, Islam is not a religion for the Arabia. Islam is a universal religion. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. We have sent you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the entire humanity. Now, the gateway to the world is not Mecca. Is not Mecca. Is Jerusalem, is Baytul Maqdis. That is why Muslims are required to keep the custody of this place. And you will see always A sign of weakness of Islam when it is lost. A sign of strength when it is under their custodianship. Always. Well, that one of the scholars, it's a statement that somebody rebuked me because there is no evidence for it, is Al-Aqsa aw al-Quds tirmu mitru tamkin fil ard. Jerusalem or Bayt al-Maqdis is the thermostat of empowerment in earth. Whoever owns it is empowered, is in control of earth, because he controls that area. It's a key. That is the message Al-Isra is sending to the Ummah. Although your messenger was taken on an animal, which between a mule and a horse, and he was taken there miraculously, but yet you Muslims must strive to go there. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam confirmed this when he said in the authentic hadith Abi Huraira radiyallahu anhu, لا تشد الرحال إلا لثلاث مساجد. A Muslim should not leave his house to go to pray in another masjid except three places. المسجد الحرام مكة, المسجد النبوي مدينة, المسجد الأقصى. Other than that, no. So you're actually supposed to get there, to go there. Let's come to the Quran, which addressed Al-Isra. An amazing. Just look, go home and look at the first nine verses of this chapter. First nine verses. It's a manuscript of how to get there, how to keep it. The first three verses, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي وَآتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ ذُرِّيَّةَ مَنْ حَمَلْنَا مَعْنُوهُ, present three unique events in history of humanity. The first one is the event we're addressing, Al-Isra. But somehow the verse indicates that is not about the masjid. You see, you can't just be in control of the masjid. You have to, الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا, what? Well, the PLO, they had the control over the masjid, but it's gone now. No. Sham, this area. That's, Allah talks about that journey. Then what is so special about Musa was given the book, وَآتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلْنَاهُ هُدًى لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. What is this verse? You see, this is the one time in history the divine intervention has shifted from a complete destruction of the disbelievers, of the opponents of the truth, through a punishment Allah would send to you. Have to do the work, believers. You have to initiate the work, and I'll help you. And that answers the many questions. Where is God from what is happening in Gaza? Where are you from what is happening in Gaza? Where are the Muslims? You see, that's the way it should go now. You see, prior to Musa, before jihad, by the way, initially, the word that we're afraid as Muslims to say these days, was initiated in the Torah, in the Old Testament. Just read the Old Testament, bloodshed, and where Netanyahu gets that stuff, killed the children, killed the women, from there, from the fabricated, the distorted Old Testament, not the Torah. Jihad was legislated. That is why is no longer. You see, that is why the next verse comes, what? Noah. Nuh. ذرية من حملنا مع نوح. You see, from Nuh until the Pharaoh, what was the pattern? Allah would interfere. Allah would send Nuh. يا جماعة الخير, توحيد توحيد, مش عايزين خلاص. Believers, get on the ship. I'll take care of these guys. Flood. نفس الكلام مع عاد, مع ثمود, مع شعيب, مع the homosexual, the LGBTWXYZ, Lot, مع فرعون, the same thing. But subhanAllah, since the revelation of the Torah, that shifted. شوف, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَهْلَكْنَا الْقُرُونَ الْأُولَى بَصَائِرِ. We're given Musa the scripture after we have destroyed the previous nations. For that's the shifting. Those are the three verses at the beginning. Then the next four verses, we said eight verses. The first eight verses. Nine verses, I'm sorry. The first nine verses, we said three. Look at the next five verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents to the ummah a nation that was given empowerment in Baytul Maqdis and taken out. In and out. Who are those? Bani Israel. وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًّا كَبِيرًا. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أُولَهُمَا. Now look and find out why they were given it and why were they taken out of it. The same system will apply to you. If you're disciplined, if you're showing servitude to Allah. Umar, really, Umar, although the Prophet ﷺ himself was not the one who was handed over the keys of Bayt al-Maqdis, his successor, second successor, but Umar articulated this in a very beautiful, profound manner when he was riding his horse or camel. Abu Ubaidah meets him, and he used to alternate with his servant. He's the Khalifa, he's the emperor, but he used to take turns with his servant. They had only one mule. فَعُمَر was walking, فَذَي came across a pool of water. فَكَنْ you imagine now, Umar, he lifted his garment like this, and he took off his sandals or whatever he's wearing, and he put it here. And he's walking over the, imagine the imperator, the emperor is doing that. Abu Ubaidah, we can't do that here. We can't do that here. We cannot do that here. Those people really care so much about how they look, their prestige, their appearance. He looks at, hey, Abu Ubaidah, if someone else would have told me that. We were the most humiliated human beings on the face of this earth. كُنَّا أَذَلَّ قَوْمٍ فَأَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. I'm here because of Islam. I came here because of being a Muslim. Anytime. فَمَهْمَا ابْتَغَيْنَا الْعِزَّةَ فِي غَيْرِهِ أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ. Whenever we pursue honor, status, dignity and appearance and these things, Allah will humiliate us. Allah will make this the source of our humiliation. That's the way it is. That's why we did like Bani Israel. We were given it, and then the Crusades came and took it away from us for a while, and then Salah al-Din got it back. Then the Zionists came and took it over. Now we have to go back to the source of our dignity, Islam, to get it back. Allah is telling you that. وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ, look at these verses. وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا. And if you neglect that source of your dignity, I will humiliate you again. Allah calls this sunnah ilahiyah, cosmic rules, something that system, you know, like the IT, you know, a system that is set in boot, out boot. You can't change it. You have to break the codes to change it. You cannot change it. But look at the introduction of this beautiful chapter about Isra. What is your way to get there? Look at this verse number nine. Inna hadha al-Qur'an yahdi lillati hiya aqwa. If you want to get there, the Quran, the revelation. Study the Quran, follow the revelation, al-wahy. With this, the message of al-Isra is done. Let's shift to al-Mi'raj. Very interesting. You see, al-Mi'raj has a different, complete different climax, like they say in the movie system. Climax, you know, like. You see, how we deal with the revelation as Muslims is very funny. It's very funny. And subhanAllah, there was an incident regarding this particular event which took place, which the Sunnah collected. You see, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned from the journey, this hadith fi Musnad Ahmad, Sheikh Al-Albani authenticated it, and hadith Ibn Abbas. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing that he has to let the people know that he went last night to Baytul Maqdis, to Jerusalem, and came back, he's very distressed. He's sitting down fi Hijr Ismail in the Haram, very distressed. What am I going to tell those people? you know that I always, when I give lectures about this subject, I tell the crowd in front of me in a lecture, you know, I tell them, okay, imagine I come to you today and I tell you, last night the ceiling of my house opened and a rocket came down and I went to the heaven and I went to the moon and I came back. That's exactly how it is. It's exactly how it is. For Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fil hadith was sitting down and distressed. What I'm gonna do? Who spots him? Aduullah, Abu Jahl. He said, there must be something wrong with this guy. Let me go and check him out. Ma bika ya ibn akhi? What's wrong with you, my nephew? That's how they approach you. He said, well, last night I went to Jerusalem and I came back. I said, really? I said, okay, wait a minute here. Can you please stop? You know, you're not like when you want to spot somebody, let me get this broadcast. Can I call the people and you tell them that what you told me, please? Wait. You know, wait. And he goes and invites everybody. And the Prophet tells them that. The hadith, some of them did like this. And some Muslims actually left Islam because of this. Although in the hadith, they requested him to describe Baytul Maqdis. To describe it. Okay, I've been there to Baytul Maqdis. Describe it for us. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually started describing it. But at one point, he started being confused because he's not paying attention to it. So Allah set the Masjid al-Aqsa in front of him like this. He was looking at it and describing it to them. He said, Sadaq. He spoke the truth. Here's what I'm looking for. That's where Surah An-Najm addresses. في مستدرك الحاكم حديث أبي هريرة, they went to Abu Bakr. You know what your friend is saying? He's saying to went to Jerusalem last night and he came back and we beat the necks of camels 30 days to get there and come back. One way, 30 days one way, 30 days come back. Here it is. What did Abu Bakr say? Verify first. Verify it. If it is the Quran, no verification needed. Sunnah, verify. Did he say that? Yes. Khalas, I believe him. I believe him in other things more than that. Far distant matters than that. That's Surah An-Najm, brothers and sisters in Islam, is coming to assure you the credibility, the authenticity, the sacredness of the guidance that you believe in. That is why it begins by an oath. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى. I shared this with the brothers this morning for Salat al-Fajr. While Bukhari, Sahih Bukhari, is higher than any compiler of hadith. The people who compile the hadith are many. You have Tirmidhi, you have Nasa'i, you have Ibn Majah, Ibn Hibban, Al-Bazzar, Muslim. Why Al-Bukhari ahead of Muslim? Why? Because Al-Bukhari made it a condition to accept a narration that the narrators have to meet. Muslim said, enough that they lived the same time, provided that they don't lie. We look at the other criteria. They are truthful, they don't lie. As long as this person and this person, it is affirmed that they lived at the same time, that's enough. No, Al-Bukhari said what? They must have met one another. The meeting. Because sometimes you may live in the same city and you don't meet certain people. Likewise, Rasulullah. Rasulullah met Jibreel. He saw him. He heard Allah. You see that confirmation? Trust the revelation. Let me address this with you in a different manner. And this is what they call, Ya Ikhwah, the essence of faith. They call it tasdeeq. Tasdeeq. What is tasdeeq? That you believe beyond any shadow of doubt. That you don't doubt. And I'm talking about doubt that is permanent. That occasional insinuation of shaitan, we understand. All of us are hit with that. As long as you resist it, find the way out of it. But I'm talking about someone who doubts and then he goes out there and he speaks out of his doubts. That's a different issue. We're talking about that. You see, when we talk about yaqeen, we can call this tasdeeq or yaqeen, certainty, certainty. There are three levels. You become certain because of knowledge. You become certain because you see it, or you become certain because you live it. I'll give you an example. Some of you may not have visited Mecca yet. May Allah send us all, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Right? But you heard of Mecca, right? Why are you certain that there is a place called Mecca? Because everybody says there is Mecca. There is no way those people would collaborate to lie. So you based your certainty on knowledge that you heard. Now what is next? You engage the eye, that you actually go to Mecca and you see Mecca. What is next? That you live in Mecca for a week or two. Then things becomes what? Certain. All the messengers before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they conveyed their message to their people based on hearing. On hearing only. Some of them asked for an upgrade. Musa asked in the wrong area. Musa asked in the wrong area. Because that eye of certainty, knowledge of certainty, which leads to certainty, seeing which leads to certainty, or living it which leads to certainty, normally in the area of the hereafter. That's why it's always mentioned. The three things, by the way, were mentioned. علم اليقين, عين اليقين, حق اليقين. They were mentioned in context of Akhirah. ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين. طب حق اليقين آخر الواقعة. فأما إن كان من المقربين فروح وريحان وجنة نعيم وأما من أن كان من أصحاب اليمين فسلام لك من أصحاب اليمين وأما إن كان من المكذبين الضالين فنزل من حميم وتصلية جحيم إن هذا لهو حق اليقين. تثرية. They are mentioned in آخرة. الجحيم والموت والقبر. But Musa requested it when he asked to see who. ولما جاء موسى لميقاتنا وكلمه ربه قال ربي أرني. موسى wanted the upgrade. You see, he heard Allah, the hearing, but he wanted to upgrade, but in the wrong area, because we cannot see Allah in this world. We cannot. Ibrahim requested it in the right area. وإذ قال إبراهيم ربي أرني كيف تحيي الموت. Ibrahim said to Allah, can you show me? I want to upgrade. Some people, by the way, may assume that Ibrahim doubted. La. Ibrahim wanted an upgrade. Ibrahim wanted to move from the knowledge to the eye. He want to see it. Arini. قال أولا تؤمن قال بلا ولكن قال خذ. I will make you do حق اليقين. You will call them and they will come after you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given that privilege. He was taken up. He ended up alternating between Aynul Yaqeen, Haqqul Yaqeen. Aynul Yaqeen, Haqqul Yaqeen. What did he see Rasulullah in that journey? Al Buraq. Is it Aynul Yaqeen or Haqqul Yaqeen here? Haqqul Yaqeen, he wrote it. جبريل عين اليقين ولا حق ولقد رآه نزلة أخرى عند سدرة عين اليقين والحق اليقين حق اليقين. He interacted with جبريل. There is a big difference when you convey a message to your followers after seeing it than hearing it. And actually the Prophet confirmed that in a hadith which was regarding Musa. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس الخبر كالمعاينة. Being informed about something is not like seeing it. Why did the Prophet say that? Commenting on Musa. You see, when Musa went to meet Allah, Allah told him already that your people worship the calf after you. Musa did not. Oh, really? Did it? Yes, because he was engaged in something else. But when he returned and actually saw the children of Israel going around the golden calf, and what did he see? What did he do? فألقى الألواح وأخذ برأس أخيه يجره إليه. He grabbed Harun's beard and hair, Aaron's. Why? Because he saw. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given that upgrade, brothers and sisters in Islam. He was made to see. That is why you are to trust the Quran and Sunnah. And your attitude towards it should be like Abu Bakr. You shouldn't employ intellect like many Muslims do now. Don't. Well, there is a line out there that I love. Al-Wahy, the revelation, which is the Quran and Sunnah. Imma akhbar وَإِمَّا أَوَامِرْ. This revelation, which is the Quran and Sunnah, can be broken into أخبار, meaning matters of unseen. Things that you're told beyond your senses. You cannot use your senses to judge it. Or commands, do or do not do. Regarding the matters of unseen, what should you do? الأخبار تستوجب التصديق. I believe it. Did he say that? I believe it. Because listen, Allah mentioned in the Quran that the revelation, some of it is crystal clear and some of it is ambiguous. هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات. Of this book, of the revelation, there are verses that has one meaning. No two can disagree on it. أقيموا الصلاة. Establish the salah. But there are verses that are what? That can have multiple meanings. Now, ما علمتم من محكمه فاعملوا به وما علمتم من متشابهه فآمنوا به. Believe it. What about the commands? سمعنا وأطعنا. We hear and we obey. Amazing, ya ikhwa, in Surah Al-Najm. Look at this beautiful narrative here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is assuring you, reassuring you as a follower of Islam, of the credential of Rasulullah. لا ينطق عن الهوى. إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. علمه شديد القوة. ذو مرة فاستوى. وهو بالأفق الأعلى. ثم دنا فتدل فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى فأوحى إلى عبده ما أوحى ما كذب you find no way but to believe it. Then look at the shift. أفرأيتم اللات والعزة. What is that اللات والعزة of yours? What is that? ومنات الثالثة الأخرى. ومنات, these are names of idols. Where did you get that from? This is our chain of narrators. This is the chain. This is the credential. Where did you get that from? Listen, although you're giving it mighty name, divine names actually. Some of you may not know that Illat is one of the names of Allah, Al-Ilah, a derivative. مشتق من اسم الله الإله. العزة أو العزة من اسم الله العزيز. The name of Allah العزيز. منات from the name of Allah المنان. إن ثبت. Although you're giving these idols divine names, but we know who made them. You know, like in America, they tell you what? The liberty. You know that thing that you come in New York, what's it called? The liberty. So you create an idol, and then under this idol comes all these wicked things. Liberty. Okay, you can choose your gender now. Liberty. You can... Oh! تمثال الحو أمريكا. Liberty. That's how it's done. You know, you create an idol. It's like what? Israel, huh, is what? Chosen people, anti-Semitic, an idol. You can come near it. Back off. You can't say, you can't criticize them. Even if you criticize the Zionists now, they can associate you with being anti-Semitic, which is a crime in Europe and here. But the point I'm trying to make here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling those polytheists that these are heretical. You made up these names based on conjuncture and doubts. What is this? For this is the comparison, brothers and sisters in Islam, as if Surah Al-Isra is providing the Ummah the manuscript which will take them to travel the same way, to get that Baytul Maqdis in order to convey Islam to the rest of the world. But the way to do it is to trust this guidance, to trust this revelation, is to deal with it, granted. That is why these matters, brothers and sisters in Islam, we call them aqeedah in Islam. Some of you hear that word aqeedah. What is aqeedah? Is a nut. Something that you tie and you don't even untie. You don't think about untying. I'm done with that. This is the essence of al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. You need to understand all these details, beautiful details that you read, in light of this universal structure of these events. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين له الحمد الحسن والثناء الجميل أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له يقول الحق وهو يهدي السبيل وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعلى من اتبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Brothers and sisters in Islam, in the event of المعراج, there was that peace when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was instructed to command us to pray 50 times a day. 50 times a day. Can you imagine having to pray 50 times a day? That means every 28 minutes and some seconds you have to stand up and pray. When he came down, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was in the sixth level. Mahua Adam the first, Jesus and John the Baptist, Yahya the second, Yusuf the third, Idris the fourth, Harun the fifth, Musa the sixth, and Ibrahim the seventh in that al-Baytul Ma'mur, leaning his back to it. Fa Musa said to him, what? That is not gonna work. I was a messenger before you. Go back and ask for a reduction. That establishes that we should learn from the experience of the past. We lost Baytul Maqdis two times. One time when corrupt theology engulfed the Muslim world. A sect, which unfortunately, I come from Egypt, they used to teach us that these guys were noble. Fatimiyin dul ya'ani kanu, the Fatimites. Those are batini, batini meaning that they always have an apparent meaning and a hidden meaning. Ismaili, and ya'ani, to be fair, so the Sufi brothers don't become upset at me, extreme Sufis. Bad theology. Weaken the Ummah. That is why study carefully the biography of Salahuddin. Salahuddin did not just come and liberate Jerusalem like that. No, he spent 18 years spreading the authentic knowledge again in the Ummah. Let's clear that. For that's the first time. When was the second time? When the Ottoman Empire falling apart, and imagine the Muslim world is sitting down waiting for Mr. Sykes and Mr. Biko, probably don't know these names, the Prime Minister of England and the Prime Minister of France, to meet together and divide the Muslim world. Okay, you get France, you get Morocco, you get Egypt. It's like a cake. And we're sitting down, and Subhanallah, ikhwah, the Zionists are threatening now to attack Rafah. Rafah, هذه is Masriya. There is a Rafah, Egyptian Rafah, and there is Gaza Rafah. It's the same Rafah. But what? That's why you always find war between Muslim countries over what? We have a place between us and Sudan, our brothers in Sudan. حلايب وشلاتين يقول لك. حتة بتاع كده. We're having animosity because of this. They left always what? Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. And that's how they managed to get in. The Zionist in the heart of the Muslim world. So if we are to come back, we have to break through those two. We have to go back to the source of the deen, the Quran and Sunnah, and promote that. And we have to work hard on our disunity. That's not easy, but at least intend. فنسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا إلى ما يحب ويرضى وأن يأخذ بنواصينا إلى البر والتقوى. اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهديين. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في غزة. اللهم احقن دماءهم. اللهم احقن دماءهم. اللهم عليك بأعدائهم. اللهم عليك بالصهاينة يا رب العالمين. اللهم يا منزل الكتاب ويا مجري السحاب ويا هازم الأحزاب انصرهم نصرا مؤزرا عاجلا غير آجل يا رب العالمين. اللهم احقن دماءهم. اللهم احقن دماءهم. اللهم إن إخواننا جائعين فأطعمهم، عراة فاكسهم، خائفين فأمنهم يا رب العالمين. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم.